I want to show you a picture up on the screen there. It'll look like just a big blob. It's by Solomon Raj, and you really have to kind of stare at it. And it might make more sense if you look a little bit more closely. Can you make that out? It's a person. Something's happening to the person. This is a liturgical art, and can you guess the title of the painting? Yeah. It's called Pentecost. No wonder. And if you were to draw a picture of yourself of what that event might have looked like, you know, it might look something like this, or in your imagination, it might look like something else. Gracia Grindal is one of the faculty at Luther Seminary, and she's fond of saying that Christianity, or the Christian faith, requires imagination. So we're going to undertake to do a little imaginative work today. Let me show you this word. It's called, pronounce it for me. Ready? So you know what that is, and you can sort of guess what it is if you look at the tology part, the study of or the subject of, the reflection on, right? But how about the first part of the word, pneuma? Yeah, we have pneumatic tools, which are powered by air, pneumatic tires, which are full of air. So somehow the Christian life is full of hot air. Yeah, you're getting this. It's kind of it is the way of a reflection on the Christian religion, especially when it has to do with the Holy Spirit. What is the character of the Spirit? This wind, this breath, this fire, this animation of the Christian life. What is God's intention? And how do you know when the Holy Spirit is present? What does that look like? What happens when the Holy Spirit comes? Okay, we worked hard now. Let me see your little ribbon. Okay, you know, kind of wave it. You know, pretend you're not Lutheran and, you know... You'd be all excited if you want. We're going to use this, if you would, to do some work together. Because one of the realities or one of the outcomes of the coming of the Spirit, that first Pentecost, as they were gathered together, was speech, was voice, utterance, some of which could be understood, some of which could only be understood by others. All right? So we're going to talk. But we're going to do it in a certain way. For instance, we're going to read a portion of the text, but then if you spot something that seems important, ready? Let's practice together. Raise your ribbon and say, "I notice." That's good. Okay, raise it high again. Ready? "I notice." Okay, now put it, you know, the other hand, because it may be that on hearing this text, something else will happen in you, a kind of curiosity, a kind of, I wonder. Ready? I wonder. Are you ready? Now, I think it would help you. There are Bibles in the pews. We are Lutherans. And the Bible matters. If you turn in the back to that section of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the first 20 verses or so, I'll give you a hint, it's in the last quarter inch of the pages in the book. I think it's page 125 or 123 is Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read some short sections of this, and this is a participatory one, so you're going to need your ribbon, and you're going to need your Bible, and you're going to need your brain. You ready? I'm just going to go slowly through maybe the first, I don't know, four verses or something, and you take careful note, okay, of the passage that I'm about to read. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now, divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them ability. Okay, deep breath. I notice, I wonder, anybody. I'm going to start calling you out if you don't volunteer. Kim!
I wonder.
Yeah.
How we would describe that sound today.
Ah, sure.
People describe, you know, like hurricanes or, you know, those kinds of storms like a train. Mm-hmm.
You heard Kim's question. How would that sound be like now if there was some contemporary analog? There are other places in Scripture, too, where you have the sound of waterfalls, the sound of great rushing wind, or even volcanic things back in the book of Genesis or in the end of the book, in the book of Revelation. Sound, roaring, threatening. Would that have been a sign, another way that this author is saying, "Ooh, God's here." A little bit scary. But it would sure get your attention. Okay, another one. I wonder, or I notice. Way back in Lee, remember you only get, you know, that was the other rule I didn't tell you. You only get one shot at this. Lee.
I notice it sounds like a Boeing 737
No, is that the Max or is that, okay, okay. John.
Ah.
Right. Is there something beyond our capacity to know? Can you simply use data to explain this? Or is there some model of even sociology you could do? There are, after all, other experiences of ecstatic experience, glossolalia, speaking in other languages. But something so stirred these people that they couldn't help but articulate it. They couldn't help but share it with other people, even over the barrier of other languages. All right, Greg, Marie. Yeah, yeah. Who was speaking Norwegian there? Yeah, yeah. Who? Which one? Which one was doing that? Let's do one more before I move on to the next passage. I wonder, I notice. See, Jill's scratching her head, but she wasn't putting her hand up. Wave your red ribbon. Which of them were filled? All of them. Next reading. This one's a little bit longer, so I'll go quicker, and you'll see why. Verses 5 through about 13. You ready? Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. Beth did such a good job because all these place names are hard. But here they come. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene," I'm not trying to impress you, "and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power," and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." Okay. Let's see your Anya. Yeah, is that one of the outcomes of the Spirit's work, is to collect or convene, gather people that otherwise would have had no reason to be together? Probably the holiday, Pentecost, is that 50th day after Passover related to a harvest time. It would have been a big party, people coming from all over the world, but of course all showing up with their own money, their own clothes, their own food preferences, and their own languages. And somehow this event makes it possible for them to share in the same thing at the same moment. I notice, I wonder. Yeah, in the front.
In the first part you read,
I think you're right. Yeah, is there not only the miracle of being able to, but to, very good. One more, couple more. Andrea. Yeah, we know it was about God's deeds of power, the text said. And of course, we didn't read what's ahead of this passage in Scripture because, well, who had just risen from the dead, right? So this power of God, and I think in Greek it's dunamis, this dynamic, powerful, moving, compelling thing. And speaking of God's deeds of those, raising Jesus from the dead, okay? Well, there was another one over there somewheres. Marissa.
I noticed they were blaming it on alcohol.
I caught that too. It can't be alcohol. It's only 9 in the morning, you know. Did that strike them as funny then, too? You know, like, okay, it's party time. Everybody is in time. It's like the Super Bowl. And is something, yeah, happening there. But clearly they witness or they perceive that the consciousness, the awareness of the people was altered, that this experience was so dramatic that they seemed out of their normal way, normal manner. Another one? Yeah, Michael. Right. Just very related to her question too. Yeah. I'm hearing from my own experience, my own context, my own need. I bet some of them were coming to town that day, angry as all get out. Some of them are coming to that day so happy because their kids graduated from high school. You know, so worried that I'm going to go home and I still have to mow the lawn. You know, whatever it was, they heard what they needed to hear. Okay, section 3. We got to keep going. Verse 14 and 15. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 in the morning." Yeah, we reference that one. Let's go to section 4. Verses 16, 17, and 18. You ready? "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I wonder, I notice. Joel, that ancient voice from so long ago, offering utterance, offering speech. He's also the one where you find the words, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Yeah, Roberta, you were waving your flame. Right, right. And in how does time work anyway? Is everything on a line? Or is this always taking place? There's always a moment of God's own self-disclosure. Something new bursting into my day, this last day. Yeah, yeah. God's announced coming reign of God. This imminence of the Spirit, this immediate movement of God for the sake of justice, mercy, compassion, and change. Can you make 3 notes in your thing, or 3 knots? And the first one I want to suggest about our pneumatology is this, that God ignites praise in us. When the Spirit comes, man, you just can't help but be an out loud. Okay, so that's your first knot. Tie a knot in that one, okay? It is the out loud explication or the out loud utterance of God's presence in the world. Pneumatology number two. I think Anya said it too. Man, how did this bunch get together? Right? That when the Spirit comes, we get convened and collected. We get attached to each other. The Holy Spirit creates community wherever the Spirit shows up. Okay? Ignites praise, creates community. And I'm going to make a third one. Can you tie a third knot in there? Agitates for change. Because if you read what happens in the book after this event, what happens? They fan out all over the world. In fact, the world changes because of this event. The status quo cannot remain. God's goodness, God's hope and mercy, God's justice, God's compassion gets realized. The fourth one, I'm going to leave to this person. I don't know if you can recognize who she is. Her name is Ellen Bass. She's the Chancellor of the Academy of American Poetry. She's the one who said, "Poetry is the most intimate of all writing. I want to speak first from me to myself and then from me to you." So the fourth knot on your ribbon, see if you can think what it is. I'm going to read her poem. It's called Kiss. When Lynn saw the lizard floating in her mother-in-law's swimming pool, she jumped in. And when it wasn't breathing, its body limp as a baby drunk on milk, she laid it on her palm and pressed one little fingertip to its silky breast with just about the force you need to test the ripeness of a peach, only quicker, a brisk little push with a bit of spring in it. Then she knelt, dripping wet in her Doc Martens and camo t-shirt with the neck ripped out, and bent her face to the lizard's face, her big plush lips to the small, stiff jaw that she'd pried apart with her opposable thumb, and she blew a tiny puff into the lizard's lungs. The sun glared against the turquoise water. What did it matter if she saved one lizard? One lizard more or less in the world? But she bestowed the kiss of life again and again until the lizard's wrinkled lids peeled back, its muscles roused to its own first breath, and she set it on the hot cement where it rested a moment before darting off. The fourth knot on your ribbon raises us from the dead, right? That the Spirit raises us from all the dead moments in our lives. This kiss of life comes to each one. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come.